Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. In a way, the whole gang is back together. In another way, we're not all back together quite yet. We're all in studio. It's me and Landfill right now. I have no idea where White Brian went. Did he go to help, too?
I mean, we're definitely not all in studio. There's only two of us in studio.
Right, but we're all in the building.
Theoretically.
I believe we're all in the building. I want to be crystal clear. This is not a give grief situation. B. Mitch made gumbo. And when B. Mitch makes gumbo, he wants it to be, like, super hot and super fresh. He probably woke up at, like, 4 a.m. to make the gumbo to have here now. So B is parking. But I don't know if it's because this is, like, a government building or just new buildings. Like, you can't access the parking lot very easily. And this pot of gumbo Brian usually brings in is massive. It's like this giant pot. Imagine Kevin with the chili in the office. It's like that size of a pot. So Jeff and White Brian are somewhere helping B. Mitch bring up the gumbo. Me and Landfill holding it down. Because we played the Tribe, I meant to bring this up, I guess, yesterday. Wednesday night was the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I guess, induction. And Tribe got honored. I don't know when it happened. I saw it Wednesday night, I think. And maybe it happened back in the fall. I don't know why they re-aired it, but it was really cool. They did a hell of a job. I thought Andre 3000 was so – he perfectly described that band and what they did for hip-hop and how they changed everything. So I just at least wanted to make mention of that. Brian is here. Hello. Good morning, Brian.
What up?
Brian's here. White Brian's here. And I think I just saw Jeff walking around in a wife beater. So we're all back. Some good football yesterday. If you got to watch any of it, the college games, Notre Dame, no joke.
For real, brother.
Yo, they play good defense.
Hell
dude.
Yeah.
It was kind of, I wonder what Georgia would have been if they still had Stetson Bennett. But ifs and buts and candy and nuts, man.
Stetson
like,
Bennett,
they didn't have him.
Stetson Bennett left, didn't he?
No, he had to get, oh, you're right. Carson Beck.
Sorry.
He had to get the surgery. Obviously wasn't playing. I like that kid, Riley Leonard, man. When they had the fourth down, maybe it was even the third down, and Leonard ran left and went head over heels to get the first down, that's a kid that gets it. Like, yo, you're in the playoffs now. You
you're
sell
in the playoffs,
out
you got to make it happen at that point.
Yeah, man. It's pretty interesting. I think the teams that got the byes, did they all lose? All of them. I mean, that's crazy.
Hey, man, it's a certain thing. See, this is what I'm looking at this weekend, too. Where all these teams are resting their starters.
Yeah.
Some of them are going to get their asses kicked the next week. I'm telling you. Just, you got to stay in it. You know, like I think we've gone through years of thinking that, oh, guys, okay, now it's playoff. They're going to turn it on. You can't just turn it on.
I agree.
It has to be ignited already and keep that thing going. You know, there have been years where people play very well, rest that last game of the season, come out the first round, and lose.
Well, I think one thing that I find kind of fascinating with the college football, so they seeded it 1 through 12,
yeah.
Right? And Oregon, Boise, Georgia, and ASU got byes. That's 1 through 4.
Mm-hmm.
All of them lost. The teams that are now in the Final Four.
ASU, though, played tough, though.
Yo, ASU got hosed by the refs.
Yeah, they totally got hosed. That they should be still going.
And they came all the way back. But the teams that got through are seeds 5, 6, 7, 8. And, dude, I guess I got to wrap my head around Texas being an SEC team, but I still don't really think that way. You only get one SEC team out of the four, and it's Texas who just
and
joined.
And there's a team that used to not be in
right.
SEC. Yeah.
Right. I know the Penn Staters will hate this, but
they're playing well, too, now.
Yeah, but they got to beat Notre Dame for it. They played SMU and Boise. Versus
AJ, yay. Catron can run.
Sure. They got to call the run, though. Yeah. Against Boise, he should have had 250 yards, and they just got away from it. Ohio State,
you know, everybody
great.
Trying to make the quarterbacks look good.
No, it's true. Ohio State looks really good. That Ohio State-Texas game should be awesome. I'm really excited. So those games are what, next Thursday, Friday, I think? All right, we're going to debate the B. We never have plates, bowls, knives, forks, right? Like, we're always running out of it. I was at the store. Doesn't it make sense to just get it all while I'm there?
No, that's why I specified bowls, because I knew we had spoons and forks.
Right, but eventually we're going to need more of it. I never bring it in. You usually are on top of that, so I was trying to just be helpful. I will say, I don't know if this is a Montgomery County thing. I fear it
is. It's a Montgomery County thing.
Dog, they don't have plastic stuff. Look at these GD spoons I had to buy. Everything is repurposed, compostable.
Nah, we have, in Virginia, we have all the stuff.
You can't get plastic
something
anything.
Something wrong with Montgomery.
It's so stupid.
Yeah,
yo, just y'all sell plastic
serve,
forks.
Serve beer, damn it.
Beer for sure. If they had beer at the grocery store this morning, I would have hit it. Look at these. I thought you'd get a kick out of these. Because you can't just get paper plates, apparently. Look what they're made from. You're always telling me how much money's in Louisiana.
Made from sugarcane.
I got sugarcane.
So I should eat some of the plates. It might be sweet.
We'll have chocolate pudding pie, and then you can just eat the plate,
anime.
B, to your point about guys resting folks.
Yeah.
The Rams right now are the 3 seed. Mm-hmm. They're playing the Seahawks, who I think will absolutely show up, even though they've been eliminated. I think that's how Mike McDonald is. Mm-hmm. I think Geno's got some incentive money on the table. I don't think the Seahawks are laying down this weekend. White Brian, look up. I believe McVay is benching everybody. I think Stafford's resting.
That was announced yesterday. He's basically going to sit most of his starters. But Sean has done that type of stuff before.
But, here's what I don't get. So, if they hold the 3 seed, they get Washington most likely. Or they maybe get Green Bay, depending how it shakes
maybe
out.
Maybe they're scared,
right?
Of Washington.
Bro, you'd rather play the loser of Vikings-Lions?
Hey, they probably think they could beat them. They may be they're scared of that JD, man.
I
don't buy it. Listen, bro, this is the problem with football today. The coaches and front offices make decisions. Players want to play. You know, basketball, they don't want to play. Let's be real about it. But football guys want to play. But the coaches decide, I'm not going to play my guys.
I think NBA dudes would take nights off in the playoffs. They'd be like, oh, no, nah, man, we played on
they
Monday.
Just wanna talk.
Thursday
they
want to
talk about what they do. Instead of going out there and being about it. But, you know, like LeBron talking about Christmas is for the NBA. You better go look at the numbers, boy.
Yo, and that wasn't even on TV.
Yeah,
you had to have Netflix to watch that.
They streamed 24 million. They had more in one game than they had in all their big games together.
I tell you what doesn't make any sense to me is what seems like trying to play the loser of Vikings-Lions. That doesn't add up to me. And you know where I stand with McVay. And I get you want to rest your guys, but that just – maybe he thinks Jimmy G's pretty good. I don't know. That one doesn't add up to me.
I don't know.
Tampa gets to play the Saints. The Packers get to play the Bears. Like, it's hard to think those aren't going to be dubs. You never know. Week 18 in the NFL gets very, very funky. Hmm. Speaking of funky, Jeff has a hype song for us. PFT Commenter is going to join us at 11.
Yeah.
Governor Wes Moore is going to join us at 1 o'clock. And we're checking in with Nui Scruggs. You know what's wild about the Dallas media folks? They bring heat. Like, Sean yesterday absolutely brings heat.
Hey, man, listen, bro.
You know Nui's going to have something to discuss about Mike McCarthy.
Let's just think about it. I'm going to give you a little comparison. When Dan Snyder was still around,
yeah,
DC media bought heat.
Because
they got sick and tired of it. And right now, the Dallas media is sick and tired of Jerry.
Yeah.
Because Jerry think he can just do
That's
whatever, and he can strong-arm everybody. And they're now all giving him a combination of one-finger salutes.
Sure.
That's what they're doing to him right now.
That's a good point. Because
it gets to the point when you could be such an ass to everybody, they get tired of it.
Yeah.
You know, and then when you see a lot of people speaking up, it's easier for the next person to speak up.
One thing I'm curious about, so I went to the Caps game last night.
You did?
I did. I'm going to be honest. Honestly, my fandom for everything that isn't football is pretty specific to my team. Like, I don't if it's July and the Rangers are playing the Mariners, I ain't watching it.
Uh-huh.
But like, I watch the Nats most nights. I watch the O's most nights. I watch the Caps most nights. I watch the Wiz through hell or high water most nights. Going back to my Bullets days, I'm still watching them, right? The NBA, I think, is the one. Now, once it gets to the playoffs, I kind of watch everything. The NBA is the one, like, if it's Warriors Bucks on a Saturday night, I'll tune in and everybody, and Giannis and Steph are playing, like, I'll watch that.
Yeah.
It's just more star driven. But like, I'm not generally turning into OKC versus New Orleans. You know what I mean? Like, I watch my team.
Yeah. I'm with that.
So I didn't know much about the Minnesota Wild going into last night's game.
Mm-hmm.
They are relentless, dude. They are wild.
They are
fast and play hard as hell. But even though the Caps lost last night, it is really remarkable to watch and enjoy. Ovi scored a goal. They pulled off like the inside straight. They've gotten younger and faster while having Ovi still be highly productive.
Yeah.
And, dude, they still have Backstrom and Oshie contracts on the books.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, and Wilson's playing an incredible level. So they lost, yes, but it's still best atmosphere. Went to Clyde's before, saw my boy EP. Like, it was fun. But Landfill, I think, sent us this text last night. I believe I saw it last night. The New York Jets announced.
Oh, Lord.
They have completed their interview with Ron Rivera for the head coach position.
I saw that.
How serious is that?
I also saw that they signed a lot of people that were released from here that Ron drafted.
That's
so
true.
So is this they kind of making it up now where, hey, he coming here, he's going to just bring all his guys?
Do you think he's actually getting that job?
No.
I don't either.
No.
I think Ron will get a bunch of interviews, especially because the real interviews can't start until after the regular season's over. Like, if you want to request an interview with a coordinator or somebody that's on a staff, you can't do it till next week.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ron getting interviews, Ron is a well-respected person around the NFL, has a ton of contacts, connections, knows owners from all over the league. And it's not a bad perspective to get about how to run an organization. I don't know how real the interviews are as far as getting a job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Brian, Cliff Kingsbury yesterday, you and I didn't get to talk about this. Cliff Kingsbury yesterday said, I think what we would all assume, someday he wants to be a head coach again.
Yeah.
And he should. And he's going to get interview requests.
Who?
He should. Here's what's going to happen. I'm just going to clue everybody in. You've got a team with two Pro Bowl starters, 11 guys made Pro Bowl alternates. They won 11 games. They might win 12. It's the biggest turnaround in Washington franchise history to go from 4 to 11. That's plus 7 wins. A lot of guys are going to get interest. When you build a good staff and you win, and that doesn't just mean... That doesn't even. That's not just Cliff getting head coaching jobs. There's going to be guys that get coordinator offers or DC offer. There's going to be movement, and that's okay. I don't think it's a lock, though, that Cliff goes this year.
I agree with you, but you know what? I listen to a lot of fans since I've been off the radio. You all got to get your heads out the sand. You are all of a sudden, just because it's a possibility he may get some interest, everybody want to just, I wish I could use the exact word, they want to poop on him. Okay? This man has done a masterful job with Jaden. Don't sit up here and start trying to knock somebody because they may get, you know, a possibility to go somewhere else. That happens. We all want to take a job and hope we can get to the top. Why wouldn't he? You know, and the ultimate thing is, I watch this coaching staff be put together. They are already prepared to keep moving on if he were to leave. They got Brian Johnson. Hell,
Anthony Lynn.
You got Anthony Lynn on this staff. Our guy, tight end coach.
David Rye.
He's a guy that we see as a next possibility.
Dude,
I just think
David
that
Blau, David Pritchard. Like,
see, people like going, oh, I'm a fan. I love this guy. No, you don't love the guy. You love him because he's right here, right now. If you love somebody, you want them to do well, get and have great things happen for them. So if he were to go somewhere, cool, bye, go. But then you just pull for the next guy. In a sense, what Nate does, and I can't believe I'm even saying this, agreeing with Nate.
Nate
is going to go all in for the guy when they're here. But you don't have to knock people just because they go.
You know what Cliff says all the time? He said this at least three times at the podium this year. It's players, not plays. I'm not suggesting that it's advantageous for Jaden should Cliff get a head job and he goes somewhere else. Like, Cliff has been the voice in his ear all year. Cliff has a distinguished track record working with quarterbacks.
I'm
not suggesting that it's great that if that happens. But, like,
but consistency great is
players,
great.
Sure.
If Cliff could stay here the whole time Jaden is here, that would be much better for him.
Right.
But as I stated before, Jaden Daniels seemed to be the guy where he's going to do the work. And if a staff comes in, they have to understand you got a guy here who's already proven what he's capable of, and he's going to put in the work. You keep building what he's done. You don't come in and try to change it completely.
I agree, B. I think this is going to be a popular topic, understandably. I think you don't want to lose Cliff. I just, B, on a straight-up personal level, and I'm curious what you think. There was talk of Cliff going to Chicago to be the OC last year. It didn't happen, obviously. I don't think he's going to be in a hurry to go back to Chicago. And what I really don't think Cliff is going to entertain is a horse race with Ben Johnson. I don't see him being Ben Johnson's foil to drive the price up. I just don't see that happening.
Now, I don't see it. I just, listen, man, but the whole thing, he has the ability now to wait another year.
Totally.
Because he's getting paid from Arizona still and here. Okay? He can, if he wants to go, he go. But I'm not going to be pissed at him. Listen, man, Cliff has been, I think he's done a great job since he's been here. Been cool as hell. I'm not going to hate on somebody getting a job. And I think a lot of our fans, we always talk about we're the best fans.
With Cliff?
Yes.
He hadn't even taken an interview.
Yes, but still, they are assuming. So if you want to go there that quick, you know, I was listening to the little
that's
radio.
That's stupid.
So I'm saying, that's what I mean. Absolutely asinine. So get the hell out. Get your head out the sand, please.
I wonder. And it's so speculative. And so Tischler yesterday, I'm curious what your take is on this. Mitch didn't want to talk about the Cliff stuff. He's like, yo, there's actual playoff football coming. Like, we should talk about that.
I never want to talk about stuff that's not here.
But it's news. He talked about it. Like, it happened.
It's news, but you know what? It's news that it has not happened. What's most important to me right now? Dallas.
Is it still Dallas, or are you looking to the wild card game?
I'm looking at
Dallas. I understand what they're looking
at.
No. I'm asking you.
They asked me, what's my three things this week that I want to discuss? I said, we still got work to do. Let's not be content. And we got to finish strong. That's all focusing on this week, right? I don't give a damn about the playoff game yet because it ain't here. We don't even know who we're playing. So let's whoop Dallas' ass to build some level of momentum and go into the playoffs on fire.
I tend to agree with you. What I want to see, though, is just really crisp football from the top units, because I won't be shocked if in the second half they pull some dudes.
I want crisp football, and I want them to win the game.
I know exactly
what I
want.
Still want to be in the sixth spot.
I know exactly what I want. Offensively, defensively, I'll tell you what it is when we return. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. The NFL playoffs are almost here, but it's not too late to get in on the regular season action with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, new customers can finish the season strong with $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. FanDuel has so many ways for you to pick up a W. Not only can you bet on who will win the game, but FanDuel also has bets for which players will score a touchdown, how many points each team will score, and so much more. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to join today. This way, you'll be all set for the biggest games of the year. That's FanDuel.com/Brian for your chance at $250 in bonus bets. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
1067 The Fan. Got to be honest, man. B-May Gumbo, and it's phenomenal. Let's go around the room. Did White Brian get any? You don't eat gumbo, Brian?
I'm about to go grab some.
Okay.
You said he had some before.
Landini, what do you think, dude? This might be the best batch ever. No lie.
Really?
Yo, it's really, really good, dude.
Wow. Took me 3 hours, Jay.
So I wanted to...
I got up about 5:30. Started around 6. I cut up everything yesterday.
So 5:30, you start making... What is it, the roux?
I started actually in the pot, sautéing the onions. Well, the Holy Trinity and added bell peppers to it. So the Holy Trinity, you talk about... you basically use celery, garlic, and onion. Then you add a little bell pepper to it. And then I started cooking that at 6 o'clock.
So what is the... When do you add, like, the shrimp and the sausage and everything?
Later. So 30 minutes I did that. Then I add my flour and stuff. Like, you could do roux different ways. People always think you got to just do the roux early on. You don't have to do it early on. You can add flour. And then the color will come into it, you know what I'm saying? A little bit later after you start doing your vegetables or whatever.
So when I say that you are, like, generous and kind and you get mad at me about putting your business in the street,
uh-huh.
Like, here's an example of it. As much as B is going to physically attack and harass Jeff all damn day, Jeff is also allergic to shellfish, so B made a special side pot that didn't have shrimp or crab in it.
I think my daughter did that for Jeff. Nah, I did it.
I know you did.
Yeah, I made a dude. He's allergic. I don't want nobody taking a dip on my watch. And then, but Jeff keeps talking, oh, yeah, the day I'm going to try the other one. I'm like, look, I told Brian, what did I tell you? I gave him a pot with nothing in it. If he goes into the other pot, that's his fault.
A pot for every, what was the FDR phrase? A pot for every kitchen? Something like that? A chicken in every pot?
Mm-hmm.
But think about it, B-Mitch. If your gumbo was so good, it killed somebody.
Nah. That would be pretty cool.
That's not a good thing. If it kills somebody, that's not so good. That's awful.
I believe it's a praying mantis that the woman kills the man after sex. So that you could have praying mantis gumbo.
Yeah, but why do you think she killed him? Because he wasn't no good.
I think it's just how they get down.
I'm just saying, man. I don't want a praying mantis.
I'm going to be honest. Brian, we call him White Brian because he's White Brian. But he's also a very white dude. Brian, have you ever had gumbo?
Yes, he has.
I have.
All right. What do you think of this batch?
It's very good.
All right. White Brian, man, a few words. Jeffrey, what do you think of the gumbo, buddy? You that B made your own special pot of.
It's amazing. B, yeah. I appreciate you,
so,
bro.
So your mom can use the real pot?
Yeah, I put her something.
Okay, cool,
aside.
Cool. Yeah. Gotcha.
I'm not trying to get cursed out again.
I want to have a conversation very specifically about what you want to see in Dallas.
Uh-huh.
But I did want to run through this. I was listening to PFT Commenter's podcast this morning. So think about this 2018 NFL draft. And I say this because... I don't know who these morons are,
mm-hmm.
but apparently I got tagged in a tweet. So this dude, Disco, I feel like Disco is a part of our universe, and we appreciate Disco, said that some fans have already declared Ben Sennett a bust and wonder why he hasn't supplanted Zach Ertz. And I think the people saying this are so incredibly stupid. Sennett has been really good all year.
All year.
Ertz might be a Hall of Famer. I don't understand this rush to not like Zach Ertz, who caught 2 touchdowns last week, including the game winner in overtime. Ertz is a fantastic player and one of the best pure route runners as a tight end, probably in NFL history.
We have to find a way to ignore the small amount of people who like to say the dumbest things possible. And let's not put any more, focus on them. Move past them and move on. You don't just sit down somebody because somebody outside the building think that they can't play. I've watched him play all year, and the guy has given us a hell of a lot. You know what I'm saying? So we got to stop. We got to start to ignore those people. And you know what? Maybe sometimes it's the infiltration of others, fans that didn't like it from Philly when he left and this, that, and the other. You know, well, people come in and do that stuff. So we got to learn to just ignore them.
I had an interview with Commanders tight ends coach David Rye yesterday. I think we're going to play that later in the show. We talked about Ertz at length and how impressed he is. But the notion of declaring a player a bust 16 games into his rookie season, I just found so stupid. And I was listening, like I said, I was listening part of my take this morning.
Yes. Everyone that thought that Sennett and Luke McCaffrey were supposed to automatically get playing time, I've always fought against that. I keep saying you have to learn how to play at this level. And Sennett, he's a hell of a blocker. He plays special team out the world. And then he's going to be able to enhance other stuff coming forward. You look at Luke. Luke is in his, what, third year now of being a receiver?
Yeah.
And now he's at the highest level.
And he went from playing at Rice to the NFC East.
Yeah, he has to learn how to play it. And I see a bright future for him. But everybody just automatically assumes just because somebody was did. We've seen Heisman Trophy winners never take a snap in the NFL.
Well, that's exactly where I was going. Let's look back at the 2018 NFL draft, shall we? And then think about what's happening in the playoffs this year. Number one pick in that draft, Baker Mayfield, who at various points in his career had been dismissed as a bust repeatedly.
Yeah.
I assume he made the Pro Bowl. Tampa's in the, I guess not definitively in, but Tampa's probably in the playoffs. Mayfield playing at a really high level. People definitely at one point in time called him a bust.
Yeah.
Number two pick in that draft, Saquon Barkley. The Giants just decided he was done, didn't want to pay him. How's that look? It might cost you your job, honestly, Joe Shane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number three pick in that draft, Landfill's boy, Sam Darnold.
People still think he's a bust, and he's sitting there 14-2.
Right. And about to get paid. That draft was loaded, B. Listen to this. Denzel Ward at 4, Chubb at 5, Quentin Nelson at 6, Josh Allen at 7, Roquan at 8, McGlinchey 9, Josh Rosen at 10. There's your first bust. Minka goes 11, Vita Vea goes 12, Deron Payne here. I mean, this draft was just loaded. Tremaine Edmonds in that draft, Jair Alexander. And you know who went 32? Fellow by the name of Lamar Jackson. I mean,
that was told he should try running back.
That is just such a loaded draft, dude. But yeah, that's kind of my point is like people got to chill trying to make these pronouncements and determine draft success. This new staff is built
I think they know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, dude, so 13 people got Pro Bowl recognition. Obviously, Jaden and Terry are in, and then 11 other dudes are some level of alternate, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of those 13, B, 10 of them joined this organization since March. These guys know what they're doing.
And
the other three were here back to the Gruden days.
And then all of the pundits, think about that. When they picked all these people up, they were like, oh, Washington, they didn't get no talent. Remember that? We have no talent. And I say, let the people at least get in here first and see what they can do. They have more than enough talent.
Speaking of more than enough talent.
They need some depth, but that's about it.
I would say this Gumbo's got more than enough talent. Also, Cody Betts tweeting at me.
Oh, boy.
Trying to mess with me. Got to say what's up to the folks in the chat. Let's go. Let's see who's first. I'm scrolling. I got Strizzy. Strizzy at 10 a.m. said, Dallas sucks. I think that's an appropriate first comment. You're going to mark him down, White Brian. Strizzy. All right. Strizzy's in there. Also, Cody said, I tried my best to be first. I have no idea how y'all beat me in here. Too late. Cody, you snooze, you lose.
There you go, son.
Also wanted to say, our boy Greg is homesick and watching on the YouTube. So, G, we hope you feel better.
Greg.
Hi.
Hey.
Vegas flu, man.
He ain't sick. That's the Vegas flu.
That's
right
the
there.
Vegas flu.
He been in Vegas for a week. That's what's wrong with him.
Yo, Vegas for a week. When he told me he was going for a week, I thought he was nuts.
And then he showed us his equipment.
He went to the store.
he should be sick.
He went to the store. Vegas for a week, you're nuts. Vegas is a 3-night maximum. I think I legitimately. I don't even want to joke about that, considering everything that's happened in the last couple of days. When we go to New Orleans, but it's gonna be a wild ride.
Yep,
it's gonna be a lot of fun though. So here's what I want to do: we'll go around the room. Everybody, tell me one thing they want to see from the Washington Commanders this weekend in Dallas, specific to the Dallas game. One thing you want to see. Now, one thing you need to know: if you are in the business of buying or selling a house, if you and your family are thinking about making the most important financial transaction of your life, you need to call John Leahy.
Just like Fred. Fred needed to sell his Rockville home, so he called John and the Fine Living Group to get the property sold again. This was Fred's 8th time trusting John and his team to get the job done. With John Leahy's VIP seller program, he got the home sold quickly and for top dollar. If you're looking to sell, take advantage of John Leahy and the Fine Living Group's guaranteed offer. Start by finding out what your home is worth in only 30 seconds at johnsellsdmv.com. We're talking about John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. John offers you flexible fees customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens. So if needed, John will let you out of your contract at any time.
The thing that stands out for me about John is if you're thinking about selling your house, you probably want to know how much it's worth. How much money can you make? How much money can you then flip into another house, get a bigger house, buy a beach house, whatever it is you're trying to do? Go to his website, johnsellsdmv.com. That's J-O-N, no H, johnsellsdmv.com. Click on that home valuation tool. It takes about a minute, maybe less, and you'll have an exact estimate of what your home would sell for. Then you can call John, and he'll sell it for that number, maybe more. That's why I would trust John, 301-900-3052, 301-900-3052, or you can go to johnsellsdmv.com. Or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing. In a shocking development, Jeff just introduced me to another dude named Brian that works here.
Hey, we taking over.
And
the Bryans are taking over.
It also just cements that our other Brian's name is going to have to be White Brian, because he's the only white dude named Brian around here.
There are too many Bryans and there's too many JPs as well.
It's incredibly odd to have two JPs. Brian's a pretty common name.
There aren't that many people who work here. And we've got multiple repeat names.
That's true.
Right by that, Landfill.
Are there any other repeat names?
I'm not sure.
Aren't both Valdez and Drab named Matt?
That's correct. Yeah, there's Matt Essig as well.
Yeah, there's Matt Essig.
Hey.
Only one Russell.
Greg said, damn.
There's multiple Chris's.
Today we're not in the studio.
Who did?
Greg. I forgot they're not in the studio.
Oh, they have their field trip.
Yeah, I thought they did.
That sucks. Who are the other Chris's? Chris Russell,
Chris Kiner.
Oh yeah,
heavy metal Chris.
Heavy metal Chris. Damn. All right.
And there's only one Jeff.
All it needs is one. We had two Jeffs. We had about damn problem.
I'm at Jeff capacity. That's
we got one.
That's
Sean.
The most Jeff I can handle.
We got one Jim.
No, Landfill and I are both James.
Yeah, but he's never been called James in his life.
James Andrew Mullins the 10th.
No, he don't like that.
Yo, I legit don't know Mullins' first name. I don't know if it's James or Andrew, and it seems to switch.
I thought it was Andrew.
Yeah, I think it's Andrew.
No, it is Andrew.
I think it's James. Why do people call him Jim?
JP, your name is James. Matter of fact, we're going to refer to you as James for the rest of the show.
Yeah, James.
Matter of fact, we aren't.
Why not, Jay?
I don't care. Go for it. It doesn't bother me. Leavitt, what's your first name? He won't tell us. Is Stevie in today? Because I feel like Stevie should get some gumbo.
I told Jeff to call Stevie.
I texted her last night. She said she was supposed to come in.
What about Wendy?
I mean, I don't think none of them are in studio.
Well, they're never here. The sales
on Fridays.
The rest of the building is very rarely ever here, which is astounding that we have this monstrous office space with nobody in it. But that's a different conversation. I do want to, and it's not mine to offer, but Wendy and Stevie should get some gumbo should they want it.
Yeah.
All right. Brian, I can go first on this if you want. You get one thing you want to see from the Commanders.
Jeff, that's a little bit of the container, but go ahead.
One thing you want to see from the Commanders in Dallas. One thing.
I want to see dominance. I'm being honest with you.
I meant a little more specific, but that's fine.
I'm being that very specific like on that. I listen, man. I understand. I listen to everybody talk about now the playoffs and this, that, and the other and making. No. I want to see them go into this game against Dallas and show that they corrected things from the first game. And, yes, if they are destroying them and they pull them out of the second half, fine. But I want to see them go out there and, like they say, put belt to ass. That's what I want to see.
Not mad. That sounds, for me specifically, it's turnovers. They have 6 turnovers in the last 2 games. I think Jaden has thrown 3 picks in the last 2 games, very unlike him. I want to see a clean operation. I want to see a clean sheet without turnovers against Dallas because I do think in the playoffs, you turn it over like that, it's going to be really hard to win. Playoff football's got to be clean. For me specifically, it is no turnovers offensively. And I think that's where they need to get to. Like the run offense, the run defense have both been bad. Like you'd like to see that get back in order. But the list starts for me with turnovers. You got to limit that stuff. I know you beat Philly despite having the 5 turnovers. You got to stop counting on these crazy comebacks. And it's great to be a second-half team. They've been really good in the second half the last couple weeks. But 3 weeks ago, they were really bad in the second half against New Orleans. Like what I'd like to see, to your point, Brian, is a similar game that they had against Tennessee, that they had against Cleveland, that they had against Carolina. Like, just go kick somebody's ass. And huge way to do that is not give up possessions. Hang on to the football.
Yeah.
Landini, what's one thing you want to see this weekend?
I would like to see them run the ball effectively without Jaden. Like, with handing the ball to a running back and consistently gaining good yardage. That's what I want to see.
It hasn't been happening, man.
It has not.
You know, B-Rob was able to kind of get it going in the second half last week, but Jaden has been their leading rusher the last 3 games. It is great that Jaden can run. I am not a person that's going to pearl clutch on Jaden running the football. I think it's an absolute asset, and you don't want to stop doing that. That's not necessarily an effective run game. Like, you look why we all think Baltimore's so much better this year. Lamar can always go get you 75 yards on the ground every game. But now they have Derrick Henry, who completely changes the offense. Washington's offense is so much more effective when there is a back getting it done.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this yesterday. You know, it's great that Jaden can run for 100 yards a game, but inevitably, he's going to have a bad game. I mean, every quarterback does. It would be nice if the offense, he's the entire offense. You know, it would be nice if there was somebody else who you could kind of lean back on, where if he's not having a great game, which, you know, if he goes up and you're in the playoffs and you're actually playing good teams pretty regularly, yeah, those are the teams that are probably more likely to stop him. It would be great if there were other guys on the team that could kind of pick up the load a little bit and make it so it wasn't 100% dependent on Jaden to go out there and have a great game.
That's well said. He has been
unbelievable.
The reason they've won these last 2 games. He's been outrageously great.
Yes.
And I'm not being hyperbolic. He's been outrageously great.
I've been getting people hitting me from different cities, a lot of them that we played, and they all have been enamored by this kid. And I'm not talking about just fans. I'm talking about people that write, people with the last name Lombardo and that type of things.
Yeah.
They are raving about this kid because he's been unbelievable.
He's been unbelievable, but you'd like it to be spread around a little bit more. You'd like B-Rob to be averaging 5 yards a pop and not everything to be on Jaden. Or if it has to be, if that needs to be C-Rod or McNichols, or I don't think there's any way you're getting Eckler back this week, but maybe you get Eckler back next week. That's what you'd like to see. Here's what we're going to do. PFT Commenter joins the program next.